Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, September 1st, 2023, first day of the month of September, 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and it is the official end of summer weekend. Labor Day. Summer does not end until September 21st, but the official end of summer is Labor Day weekend. The final cookouts, the final get-togethers all happen on Labor Day weekend, and it certainly is upon us now. Now, we got to take some, attendance here tonight. Sean Kraft will not be with us tonight. He's out ill, so we hope Sean gets better. Get well, Sean, if you're out there listening. He'll be back with us next week. Matt Morgan is here live in studio, and we will be joined by Carrington Nelson momentarily. So, Matt, here we are, the official end of summer. It just seems like we were just kicking off summer a few months ago.
Yeah, I know it, Scott. It's insane, isn't it?
It blew right by, did it not?
It did. So much excitement.
And here we are. Tomorrow, the Ohio State. That's a rite of passage, the start of the Ohio State football season.
I might go to the an Ohio State game next week, maybe.
Really?
I'm not 100% sure, but my friend asked me if I wanted to go.
That's the home opener.
Next Saturday?
Well, yeah, because they're away this Saturday.
Nice.
So you'll take a recorder with you, a little portable recorder down there, and interview Buckeye Guy and all the other lunatics down there, and it'll be exciting, won't it?
It'll be great.
There you go. By the way, Buckeye Guy was on the show this morning, and he gave an official prediction for the kickoff of football season. OSU 56, Indiana 20. Now, earlier you said this has to be the way it is. Buckeye Guy said Ryan Day's got to win by 40 points. Oh, no, you said it doesn't have to be this way. You said a win's a win.
I mean, I also said I'm not sure how it is 100% in college football because I don't watch college football a lot.
But you're going to go next week to the home opener.
Maybe.
Wear scarlet and gray.
Most likely.
After you get beat up. They'll knock you down.
They'll bully you.
They'll bully you. Phone lines are open, by the way. 740-383-9944. Does anybody else have a prediction for the big Ohio State opener tomorrow? Buckeye Guy's prediction again, 56-20. It says Ohio State needs to win by a 40-point spread after 2 years of losing to Michigan and losing the bowl game last year. So if you have an opinion on this, 740-383-9944. I'll be interested to see how close Buckeye Guy gets.
I don't know why you need a 40-point spread, though. I think it should be like closer to like maybe... What did Buckeye Guy's score say it was going to be?
56-20.
56-20. I'd probably give it like... I don't know. I think it'd probably be more like, I don't know, 40-something to like 21.
Is that even a 40-point spread? Now, that's not even a 40-point spread now that I look at it. He said they had to win by 40 points tomorrow, and yet he gave me a score where there's not a 40-point spread. You know, I'll tell you, sometimes Buckeye Guy's a little looped. Maybe he didn't know what questions I was going to ask him.
I mean... maybe he just overestimated the number of points that they would have to win by.
But this is the official WGH prediction. You understand? He was on live exclusively this morning on this show. Not this show, my show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't do this show. That's kind of slumming it. But he'll do my show.
I see how it is.
I'll drag him in here some Friday night. That'll be unbelievable. That's what you'll hear for 2 hours. A guy dressed in a white cowboy hat in white clothes. You say, unbelievable. And trust me, it is unbelievable. Carrington Nelson has joined us here.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I just worked a 12-hour shift, so it's been a long day.
You look it.
That was rude.
No, I meant you look like you've been working hard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You look like you've been working hard. I know. What did you think I meant?
No, I looked a little worn down.
You're going to cry, aren't you?
I'm not going to cry.
You're going to cry.
I have not cried on the show one time in the 2 months I've been here. And that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's right. Give it time. It'll happen. It's bound to happen. Oh, that's the question. Yes, for people who listen this morning, we played the interview we taped last night. And the open-ended question I left to you two, because just a little recap here of what I divulged this morning. I made somebody cry this past week, and it was actually vouched for today by Matt's brother. I forgot that he was standing there when that happened. I don't know what I said to the person. They cried. Listen, I didn't mean to make them cry, so I think I'm clear on this one. But the question last night that you guys had 24 hours to think about was a time in your life when you have unintentionally hurt somebody, and what did you do to rectify the situation? Now, Matt?
I think if I had accidentally hurt somebody, I think I'd probably just not bring it up again. I'd probably just forget about it because I'd assume they forgot about it.
But you have to have a specific example in your
specific
life.
Specific example?
When you've hurt somebody's feelings and you didn't mean to do it.
I'm not sure.
That one and only girlfriend you had, you said that you said something nasty to her. Now, I don't think you meant that to be nasty, but it was nasty.
It was true.
What'd you say?
What did I say?
You've said it on the air before. Go ahead.
I told her that she had the brain capacity of a goldfish, and I didn't want to talk to her anymore.
Those are loving words.
That's so mean.
It was honest.
Okay. So, when you said that, what did you think the impact was going to be?
I didn't think she was going to be happy.
What did she do?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, so you texted her to tell her that she had the brain capacity of a goldfish?
She lives far away.
Oh, that's
you
not
texted
a good
her?
Excuse. That's even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. You don't text somebody that.
Scott, didn't you on one show literally say that you would text somebody to break up with them?
Yes, I think it's okay to break up with somebody in a text message because really, I don't want that whole conversation.
Okay, so you can break up with them over text, but don't insult them over text.
No, because then you don't know if they're crying or not.
That's not my...
Do you want to know or not?
Yeah, I want to know if they're crying.
Okay. Yeah. But not if you're breaking up with them. It's like, no, at that point, you're like, see you later.
Yeah, I mean, because you know how people are when you break up with them in person. Well, what, did I do something wrong? No, just... Ah.
Enough.
Yeah, just, it's over, send. Goodbye. That's all you gotta do. So, when you hurt this girl through text message, did you regret that?
No, I was being honest.
So, you wouldn't do it differently?
I probably could have phrased it differently.
There you go.
It was brutal honesty.
But had you have to, if you were to do it again, you would phrase it differently.
Probably.
What would you say?
I'd probably just say that I don't feel that, like, we see eye to eye on something. Or I'm not really sure. I probably
very diplomatic.
Just something like that.
That works. Okay, Carrington, a specific time in life that you hurt somebody, but you didn't mean to.
This is hard because I feel like I'm really aware of what I'm saying and doing to other people and how it could come off. Like, I'm apologizing if something's not even, like, rude or offensive, but I'm, like, thinking about how it could have possibly been rude or offensive.
Well, you were rude to me about 3 weeks ago in the break room.
Oh, my gosh.
You never apologized for it.
I did.
I mean...
Let's back up and listen to the first episode of this show where you called me out on it. I was so vulnerable and scared. I didn't have a voice at that point.
No, you were rude to me in the break room, but I overlooked it.
I said, enjoy the rest of your break in quiet. And
because I'd been talking too much.
No, it wasn't like that. It's just like, I like my breaks to be quiet, and I thought he would enjoy the rest of his in the quiet. That's all. It wasn't that I dislike the talking. It's just like, you're looking forward to that. Like, on your break, you're going to sit down, and you're going to just hang out.
Just for the record, both times we have talked in the break room, you've started the conversation.
I have?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
You did.
I'm so friendly.
Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't reach out to you, so... No, I mean, I'm not a conversation starter in the break room.
I don't go to the break room.
Interesting. Yeah, no. I don't go anymore.
No, I don't...
I messed up about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just I wouldn't stop talking.
He wouldn't shut up. And you told him about it, and then it was very rude. But
so in summary, I'm going to tell them to their face.
Can you believe somebody would say that after just jabbering for like 10 minutes? She leaves the room and she says...
No, I told Scott that I was thinking about that as I was walking down the stairs. I was like, oh, shoot, like, that could have come off the wrong way.
And I remember that conversation.
Yeah, I was like, oh, dang it. Like, I didn't mean for it to come off like that. I was just trying
to,
like...
So you even realized that it was rude.
Yes, because I was just thinking about it. But okay. I guess I didn't run back up and be like, oh, never mind. I guess I thought we were, like, close enough at that point that I was like,
very close.
We're going to see each other. He's going to get over it. Like,
well, I didn't harbor it.
I mean, he asked me, like,
you're bringing it up 3 weeks later.
He had asked me about it.
Because we're having a conversation about it.
He had asked me about it once, or not, like, he was telling me about it before you had got here that night. And I was like, I don't, because he said it was, like, a slight toward him, and yeah. I was like, I don't.
I think you slided me.
I don't see how, but
thank you. See, right. Matt knows that I'm not gonna hurt somebody's feelings like that.
Well, it didn't hurt my feelings. I just thought, well, what was that all about?
I was trying to wish you well. I said, enjoy your break. You relax up here.
Well, okay. So what? Tell me about a time in life, because you have not apologized for that. So clearly, we haven't rectified that one. But tell me about a time in life when you've hurt somebody unintentionally.
When I was 2, I hit my grandma.
Oh. This is not what we're looking for.
I know, but she locked herself in her bedroom and cried. And then she wouldn't watch me anymore. So, I mean, that...
You hit her.
Yeah, I was 2. Okay, sorry, I didn't spend the last 24 hours thinking about an example.
You've hurt somebody in your life. You don't have to give us names, but you've had to have done something.
I don't know. Never. I'm sure I have. I can't think of an example.
Oh, I'm the only one who's ever made anybody
cry. Yeah, you're the only jerk here.
See, that was bad. No, I'm just saying it did happen. I didn't mean to make her cry. And I don't think that I should have to apologize for that.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, I won't.
I don't think you have to, but just, like, the fact that you knew she was and you had to see her again, it's like, what else are you going to say next time you see her?
How was the cry?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I guess. Whatever.
What was that all about?
What's up, you big baby? Why are you crying?
No, I saw her the next day, and I said, you're not going to cry again, are you?
Oh, my gosh. I bet she was sad.
She started to get red-eyed again, and I thought, we don't need to go down this road. We're going to have a top 10 list tonight, so everybody get ready for that. We had a funny top 10 list earlier today. Top 10 things to use the WWGH chopper for when it's not being used for road reports. That was fun. And we've got one for Labor Day. We'll do in the second hour here. Now, so you got nothing.
I don't think I do. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's enough.
We're going to get to this, but what are the cookies for?
No, well, they're for you guys. My mom just made them, and I think she wants to be the best chocolate chip cookie baker in the world or something.
Oh, well, we thank your mom.
Right, right.
This will be good. We're going to taste them in the next hour.
Yes, I'm very excited to share them with you.
Is your mom listening?
She actually just texted me, and I guess my brother's messing around in McDonald's, so she can't get it on in her car.
Well, you know, she's got a little bit of time.
Yeah, so hopefully.
We'll do it next hour.
We gotta hold out, yeah.
We'll take a picture. We take a picture of everything around here, mm-hmm. because everything's a publicity.
Right, we have to look friendly.
That whole thing, we can't go through that again. Now, here's something about being friendly, though, and I brought this up earlier with Pastor Craig and Matt. Now, every year for like the last 10 years, I've had a Memorial Day cookout and a Labor Day cookout. Now, last year I did not have those because I was busy doing something else, but I've returned to it this year. And what I have found is cookouts are a little difficult because if you don't invite somebody, they feel slighted. And if it's not really that you didn't invite them, you just maybe didn't think they wanted to come, you didn't have enough food for them. Maybe they have a conflict with somebody else there that you don't want to deal with. So, it can be trouble. What do you do in that situation?
You don't bring it up. Like, why?
No, they bring it up.
Oh, it's after the fact? Or like,
no, before.
You can still invite them? I think I'd probably just invite them to reduce awkwardness.
Well, no, but the problem is you will run out of food. You only have so much food.
You can't buy a couple more hot dogs at the store?
But see, that's how it starts. But then you got to start inviting everybody then.
Hot dogs are cheap.
No, not everybody likes hot dogs.
Okay, well, if they're coming to your cookout, you're balling on a budget.
No. I'm telling you, you have to deal with these people, and you don't mean to hurt their feelings, but yet you do.
I mean, if you don't want them there, then tell them that they can't come.
Well, I don't think that's what you... It's not that. It's not always you. It's maybe somebody else there doesn't want them there.
I feel like it's not your issue, though.
Yeah, I think...
It becomes your issue because it happens at your place.
See, if somebody else there had an issue with somebody that I wanted to invite, I would tell both of them that the other person is going to be there. So that way, if they show up, like, they knew beforehand that, like, on that point, it's their problem.
Yeah, but what do? Uninvite the person who's came for 10 years?
No, you just make them aware.
So,
I'm going to invite the person that I know you don't like. Then that they're going to feel like they're being slighted out.
I always play the middleman. If my friends don't like some of my other friends, it's not my problem because I like both of them. So if I had a party and I invited my, like, one group of friends that wasn't really friends with my other group of friends, and I was like, hey, my other friends are going to be there too.
See, you think that'll work, but it doesn't.
I know, it will.
It won't.
If they show up, it's on them.
What are your friends doing at your cookout? Are they, like, throwing down in the backyard?
No, but you'll get somebody, somebody will say something, and it'll tick somebody off, and they'll make a nasty... Listen, I've had that happen in restaurants. I've been sitting at restaurants with people who don't get along, and it starts out okay, and they kind of ignore each other, but then somebody inevitably will say something that hits the other person wrong, and because there's already a little friction there, the person will stand up and walk out.
That's their problem.
Oh, I've had that happen.
No, that's not your problem. I guess I'm not friends with people that storm out.
Yeah, if I had somebody invited to my cookout and they got mad enough that somebody else came and got mad enough that somebody had said something to where they were just like, nope, I'm leaving.
I'd be like, do you know the damper that puts on a cookout when somebody does something like that?
It's not your issue.
No, but it is, because it's at your place, and you're supposed to be dealing with these people, and now, all of a sudden, this bomb has happened.
No.
See, and you just go, oh, okay.
It's your cookout.
How's the hamburgers?
But yeah, you just change the topic and exactly. Move on.
But it's not your problem, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're making this into a bigger issue than it is.
Listen, you just haven't walked in my shoes. It does happen. One of the problems is because, like, my cookouts are not strictly family, they're not strictly work, they're not strictly anything. It's just a diverse group of people who would never be together otherwise.
Mm-hmm. You were explaining this yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was like 92 to 19.
92 to 19. That's a diverse group.
Yeah,
for sure. So you can have problems.
Yeah, but it's not your issue.
But it is when you throw the party.
No, but you told them who was going to be there. So if they choose to come knowing who's on the invite list, that's their choice.
Okay, yeah. Well.
It's like if people have families that don't get along, and it's like they're not going to probably uninvite one of them to family Christmas.
Okay, let's say you and Matt don't get along. Here's what I'm talking about. You and Matt don't get along. Now, let's say Matt has been coming to the cookout for 10 years. You've never been. And I all of a sudden invite you. And I go back to Matt and I say, listen, I know you don't like Carrington, but I've invited her to the cookout, and you are going to... I've been coming for 10 years.
No, I'd probably just avoid Carrington at the cookout.
Right, but see, I've created a bad situation.
No.
Not for me, because I can deal with both of you.
All I have to do is not talk to her. Avoid her.
On another note, there is an actual cookout on Monday that I'm not invited to.
You didn't want to come.
Is this a real situation?
You didn't want to come to the cookout.
You really not like me?
Oh, my God. See, this is like Pastor Craig earlier. He didn't get an invite either.
Ouch. It hurts.
No, I bet it does. No, you're invited.
Thanks. I think I'm busy.
Oh, see? There you go, you see? But you see, that's what would happen. There'd be a fight.
I don't think so.
Yeah, me and Matt wouldn't fight. If we didn't like each other, this would be a really awkward show, I think.
Well, they don't know that really off-air you don't like each other, that I've just put this together as an experiment.
Yeah, it's all just orchestrated.
It's all orchestrated, phony to the bone.
Oh, yeah. It's our job to seem friendly.
That's right. I always give the pep talk before the show starts. Now, look friendly, seem friendly when we go on. It's got to be that way. We're doing a show. So, I guess the advice here, I just don't invite the people. Just leave it the way it is. If you've got a solid group of people that come every year, that know each other, stick with that.
So you can never meet anyone new?
No, you can. I mean, Matt, first time he came was at Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a good time.
I did, yeah.
Because there was no fights. There was no... I made sure there was no fights and we had enough food.
I mean, I go to my family reunion every year, but there's usually fights there.
There you go.
At the very least.
So you don't want that.
I mean, I don't know. It's pretty entertaining.
Now, be honest. Did you have fun at the cookout?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, see? You enjoyed yourself. You didn't want to leave. You had to go to work that day.
I did.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Matt. Hello, Carrington. This is Pastor Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing... Well, I was doing fine. Now I'm not sure I'm doing so good.
I know. We're back to the whole list thing. I know. It's trouble. Another list.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard you, like, a minute ago tell Carrington, well, you're invited.
Yeah, but she ain't coming. So I can invite people who aren't coming.
And you know, I mean, to bring Carrington up to speed, I'll go through that timeline that we talked about earlier. I joined the station in 2021 and have never been invited to a Labor Day or Memorial Day cookout, but yet Matt, who joined the station May, 2 weeks later, was invited to the Memorial Day cookout, and then Carrington, who I think very highly of, was just invited to your Labor Day cookout.
Well, here's what happened, Pastor. What happened was Matt wanted to meet Mary Ellen Withrow, and I knew she was going to be at the cookout, so I invited Matt, and so he kind of just showed up. You know, don't listen to this, Matt. But he just kind of showed up, so now I've invited. And Carrington, she doesn't want to come to one of these things because, you know, she's got, I assume, family or friends or something that she does on Labor Day. So I know I can get away with inviting her without having she won't come.
Yeah, you don't have to worry that I'm going
to
actually
show up. I don't have to worry that you're
going
to come because you know that there's friction at these events, obviously. So it's no slight toward you. And Pastor, feel free, if you're in the neighborhood, to drop by.
Well, I'm sure I will.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And I'll try to scrounge up an extra hot dog or two for you.
Oh, no, I'll bring my own hot dogs. I'll even maybe bring some hamburgers.
Oh, then you're invited. You're invited.
Oh, so that's how it works. If you offer to bring some food, you got an invite.
Throw a dessert in there and you'll be on the permanent list.
All right. Hey. Well, I would hate to just crash your party like I did one Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but did we not have fun on Christmas Eve when you crashed that party?
Yes, and in all seriousness, because, you know, Carrington, I mean, Matt knows this, Scott knows this, and Carrington, I'm only joking. We talked about this earlier today, and I've never felt slighted by Scott. Never have, and I would never feel slighted just because I didn't get invited. But yes, we did have a good time Christmas Eve.
We did, and to many more good times we will have.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. See, you're missing out on a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah, it hurts. I was invited last minute. I'm not going to come now.
Listen, I know that doesn't your family have a thing?
No, I think they actually have work.
Oh, you work that day. Oh, lucky you.
I don't know. Mom and Dad, call in and let me know if we're doing anything because I'm not sure.
That's right. You need labor. Well, if you're destitute and lonely at 1 o'clock on Labor Day, you're more than welcome to come.
Oh, thank you so much.
There you go. All the problems have been settled now, I think. Isn't that nice?
We're probably going to have a Labor Day cookout at my grandma's house.
See? You're going to double duty that day.
Yeah.
it's one of those moments. You know, it doesn't go on all day. It's not like a rager.
Yeah. You know? So it's a reasonable thing.
It's a reasonable thing.
1 to 2 hours and everyone is
out.
Yeah,
then we're all fine and we all go home and everybody, I have to take a nap.
That's right.
Because it's a lot of pressure, this whole thing. Okay, next topic here. 30. Is there anything on your mind tonight, by the way?
Nothing specific. Go ahead. You can continue.
You seem a little antsy tonight. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. You got like your hand stuck.
Oh, it's because these headphones aren't working unless I hold them in a specific angle.
Oh, okay.
So
you seem a little nervous tonight. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like a little off-putting over there.
Matt, were you getting that?
No, I think you're doing great.
Thank you.
say something to her negative. You gotta jump on the train.
Just start bullying her?
Just start. Well, this is not bullying. It's more of just what I see going on over there.
I'm sorry. I took off the headphones. I won't.
You're fine. You're fine. All right. Here's the next subject. This is a good one. We talked about this as a preview. Worst flirters. There is a new study put out by Pew, P-E-W, that the best flirters in the world are Spain. They're found in Spain. Spanish flirters. And the worst are found in Ecuador. But bringing up the rear, right before Ecuador, the United States. We're like 19 on the list. 18 or 19 on the list of 19 or 20. The only people below us are Ecuador. So why are Americans such bad flirters? This is the question I pose.
I think it has something to do with the fact that a lot of people think that if they flirt with somebody, they feel like it's going to be, they're going to come off as creepy or weird or something like that.
But what is flirting? See, this has to be defined first of all.
I'm not really sure, I guess.
But you say you flirt with everybody.
Yeah, you said that yesterday.
Yeah,
come
that.
On, now what
well,
is
like,
it?
I'm not really, like, I don't know.
So what are you doing?
I don't know. It's not like a try.
Well, how do you know you're flirting, then?
Yeah. I mean, people just say, like, that I am flirt. Like, my mom always be saying that I'm, like, flirtatious, flirting with everybody.
So what does she say you're doing?
I don't...
Are you, like, winking?
Ask my mom. No.
Absolutely. Like, biting his lip?
ask my mom.
Hey, you got that crush on Sarah Palin. She was always winking at people.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. That's how she... You said she flirted with the audience that way.
Yeah,
with the winking. Okay, so flirting equals winking.
It was literally a whole strategy of hers.
So if Sarah Palin winked at you, what would you do to flirt back?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't flirt with Sarah Palin.
But you said she was your hottest politician, will solve the world problem.
Because, one, she's a politician. And two, she's the, I mean, in terms of politicians, she probably is the hottest politician that I can think of.
Why?
I don't know many politicians.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why? What makes her hot?
I don't know.
Like, I've seen Sarah Palin. It never did anything for me. Okay. There she is.
I mean, there's nothing in particular. Just, like, she has glasses. I do like that.
Oh.
Glasses?
That's
yeah.
it.
There's plenty of politicians with glasses, Matt.
Name another politician with glasses.
Abraham Lincoln? He probably had glasses? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, I wasn't
Who
expecting Abraham Lincoln to come up there.
I know.
Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, that's
what
I would have.
What's the Bushes? There were two of them.
I could have named one. There's Harding had glasses.
Father Bush wore glasses.
There we go. See, one of the Bushes.
Yeah, one of the Bushes. It was the one that wasn't trimmed. It was the steady Bush.
Okay.
But no, just because she wore glasses, that's what made her good looking?
I mean, she has a nice smile. The glasses draw attention to her eyes, which is why I like glasses, because faces are empty, and glasses draw attention to, like, focuses towards your eyes, so it just fills your face, if that makes sense.
Maybe Sarah Palin is such a standout in the politicians we know of. It's kind of like the JFK thing, where it's like, he doesn't really have any competitors. Like,
now, you know what? I did not fully understand this whole JFK thing. Now, you said he was the hot, best-looking politician. What was the thing?
That he was the hottest president we've ever had.
Okay, but I didn't... Now, is this what you think, or is this what you read?
No, this is my opinion, but, like...
Okay.
Who is going to run against him for good-looking president?
Well, here's the problem.
Like,
again,
maybe Obama... Most of them have wigs.
Well, we're learning what she's into here. It's Obama and Kennedy. What I'm saying is what I... So that wasn't... I thought that was like a poll or something.
Oh.
That's you.
Yeah, no, that's just a me thing.
I mean,
I feel like it's obvious.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have heard that I have heard people say that JFK was like the most attractive president. Like, people liked him. Because he was a smooth talker.
Well, he was a smooth talker.
And he was attractive.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that he was the most attractive. I don't, you know, Harding certainly got around in his day. We don't have a lot of pictures from that time period because of when it was. And certainly the early presidents might have been good looking. We don't really know because there was no, it was all portraits and wigs and all that sort of thing. Different times.
That's true. I guess just in the current times, if you look at all the presidents in a calendar format where they're
young. He's young.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's really all about being young.
I mean, not necessarily. Like,
because you took probably two of the youngest presidents,
mm-hmm.
Obama and Kennedy.
Yeah, I guess white hair just doesn't do it for me.
White hair doesn't do it for you. Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because age, to a lot of people, is really irrelevant. Last night, the video that was shot. What's the video with Chad Clark?
What are you?
1/5 at a time.
Oh, yeah, 1/5.
Yeah, they were here. And in the video, the girl who plays his girlfriend, now I know the age disparity there. It's decades.
Really?
Yeah. But they're not really boyfriend and girlfriend, but they play that in the movie. But I didn't think that they kept talking about the age, and I thought, well, this is silly because
you can't tell.
What? No, I just don't think age matters. I don't. If it's legal, what is the problem? If you get along with somebody and you like to do the same things, and what is age? What's the problem here? Just like at the Bratwurst Festival, all those old men with the young women.
It's just weird. Where are you guys going to run into each other?
Well, who?
You and this really old person that you start dating.
No, but see, first of all, you can't refer to him as really old person. That's going to kill the relationship right there.
Okay, okay.
You never went, like, out to eat with somebody who was older than you, who wasn't related to you, who you just got along with?
I don't think so. Not that much older than me.
See,
and not a male, like somebody that I would date.
Well, but maybe you're just, that's a kid thing. Because the older you get, age really becomes more irrelevant.
That's true. I guess in a lot of workplaces, you'll have various age ranges.
Because how do you know how old somebody is? You're not in school. When you meet them, you're okay, well, they're that old.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. People start coloring their hair. It really becomes more, you do become less superficial as you get older. It really is no longer about what people look like. It really becomes more about what people are. What do they stand for? Can you have fun with them? Do you want to see them? It's not what they look like.
Is that just because they're not as cute anymore?
So,
like, okay, question. Do you think that whenever you're older, are you attracted to people the same age as you, or, like, what the ideal person is at the time? Like, if you're an 85-year-old man, are you looking at the other 85-year-old ladies and, like, making eyes at them, or are you, like, looking at the 20-year-olds?
I'm pretty sure, like, the standard rule is, like the older you are, the wider the range, people find you attractive.
Yeah.
Like, the older you get, the more people will find you attractive.
I think if you're discounting somebody simply because of age, that's a problem.
No, I don't think I would from the start, but if I could tell they were significantly older than me.
Like, what's going to happen if they're significantly older?
Maybe they just have more, like, life experience, so it's
you're
a little
gonna feel,
intimidating.
You're going to feel intimidated.
Yeah, I could see them, like, taking advantage of you easier if they were way older than you.
But didn't you say what you had an... Did we talk about that on the air? Because I don't want to bring it up. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. But, you know, there was a little age difference at one point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that worked.
No, it didn't.
No, but maybe you're scarred from that particular
maybe
situation.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's okay. What it is.
Gosh, I don't remember what we talk about on air and off
the
air.
We can say it. Whenever.
No, I don't want to say that. Because that is probably not the proudest moment, but maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like there's a power dynamic difference if someone's way older than the other person.
You think?
Yeah.
You think age gives power?
A little bit. It's kind of like the whole title conversation.
Yeah. See, it's kind of like the whole you call me Mr. and Mrs. because I'm older than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, I've thought more about that. And to be honest with you, I think some people do deserve some respect for being older. Like, I think if somebody walked in, like if the president came in, I think you would not say, hey, Joe. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd say President Biden. You would say something. You wouldn't say Joe because of the position. And the, like the royals, who are always on the covers of all these magazines, apparently were fascinated with them. There's a whole protocol when you meet those people. You can't hug them. You can't touch them. You got to bow. It's a whole thing. But that's all about title.
That's true. That just seems like for show and tell, though, you know? Like, they've had those traditions, so it's like, here's all these formal traditions we made 400 years ago. The president thing, I don't know. I might be like, hey, Joe.
No, you wouldn't be hey, Joe.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't say. He probably wouldn't notice me. Like, I can't fathom that situation.
Like, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Is that not, like, how you're supposed to refer to the president?
I believe so.
Or, like, Mr., like, you know, Mr. Congressman?
Right, right. yeah, representative is what you would say. Yes, representative, representative or senator or whatever. Because they earn that title. And I why would you slight them? If they go ahead and say, no, call me Joe, then you're in the clear.
We've already had this debate.
We have, but I'm just saying, as time has went on, I have come to realize, I think there is some merit to it.
See, but that's a little different because it's not so much age, it's more so that he's the president.
So it's position. But it relates to this conversation because I don't think age really matters in that dynamic because, you know, we think there's a big age difference between a teenager and, let's say, a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think there's a big age difference between a 40 and a 60-year-old. But it's the same amount of time.
Maybe they just have, like, lived through more of the same things. They'd have more in common. Like, it's weird. Like, imagine an 80-year-old and a 20-year-old. Like, what are they bonding over? Like, they don't know any
money.
Of the same things.
Yeah, the 80-year-old's money is what they're bonding
over. I mean, a conversation.
Over. No, that's too big. That's too big a gap.
Jeff,
but I'm saying 20 years, you could that could work.
I feel like you see a lot of those.
Jeff Dunham's wife is 30-something.
Yeah, 20, 30 years could work.
Jeff Dunham is 30 years older than his wife.
You see, you've got to see people as people, though. That's the problem.
I don't know. It's
you
not
do
correct,
have to shed
though, because,
that
like,
dynamic.
Because, like, when she was born, Jeff Dunham was a whole 30-year-old man.
Right, but you have to shed that. You can't think of it like that. You've got to shed that dynamic.
You can't think of it like that.
No, you can't because, okay, like, there are certain adults that you would not speak to you wouldn't speak with them about certain things. You wouldn't talk to them in a certain way because they are your elders. But there are other people who you would because you're more comfortable with them and you see them differently.
And you're talking about two people of the
same age.
I feel like it depends on what the age is. Like, if it's my parents' age, like, some of my friends' parents, I talk to them pretty casually, and I'm like, hey, Cindy and Jim, like, I'm calling them first name basis, but, like...
But you don't see people differently. Like, I see people differently. Like, I know people who might be my parents' age, but I don't treat them like my parents.
I don't think I really do. If anybody's my parents' age, I would probably treat them as... somebody's parents. I think so. Maybe this is a difference in, like, age. I guess me and Matt are both a lot younger.
I mean, is it particular to, like, is it just, like, anybody or, like, family?
No, I think it's anybody. Well, like, see, now, like, with you. Now, we have a tiny age difference, you and I, but I think of you as a friend, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't see me as a parental figure, even though, so, but that's about the same age gap.
I mean, I've got a lot of friends that are older than me.
That's a really interesting point, because I have no idea how old you are.
27.
Okay, well, see, perfect, then this follows my rule of thumb that I'm probably not going to be friends with someone that much older.
What? Older than what, 27?
No, just like a significantly older, like...
But isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because, see, Matt and I do get along, and there's only an 8-year age difference, and, you know, but
yeah,
that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 8 years old, he was born.
So,
that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know on that subject. Did we cover the waterfront on that one? I think we did.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show you, you know... Friends are different. It's just, you know, but I also think, we covered it with Olivia and then we never saw her again. So I don't know if we should go in this water, but can you be friends with somebody of the opposite sex?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, for sure.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because I think that's dangerous when you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, like over time, I guess like if you're having a really close relationship, it would be weird, like... Your significant other couldn't be there while you were hanging out with them and, like, you wanted to do things with just this person, it would seem a little strange, but, like, to have a casual friendship, definitely.
Well, see, the problem is I can't talk about it, but, you know, I have seen this happen in life where I was friends with somebody who was married and that didn't go so well, even though there's nothing going on, nothing at all. But they get angry.
Yeah, I feel like it's a situation basis. Like, if you're working with them and you have work things, like they don't have as much right to be upset about it.
You know what it is with me, and I had to learn this at some point, that what it is that people, I think, do trust me. And when you trust somebody, you will confide in them. And if that person is in a relationship or married to somebody else, they get a little jealous that you're confiding in that person. And that's the problem. They really don't think something's going on. They work themselves up in their mind to believe that. But what really is going on is they're just confiding in them.
Yeah, that's a really great take. I think you explained that really well.
And I've just learned to deal with that. That I'm not going to stop somebody from confiding in me because maybe they got to get it off their chest. And I will give them advice. You know, there's no lack of that in my brain. But, you know, the chips are just going to have to fall where they may. I can't stop your significant other from being jealous.
Yeah, they're probably just comfortable because, you know, you talk for a living. So, well, you're good at making conversation, and people feel comfortable around that.
And I like people.
Unless you're the girl from Kroger who Scott made cry.
Yes, yes.
Because she is not comfortable.
Which is not you.
Not me, no.
Not you. I just make you want to leave the break room so you can hear quiet. Peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit another subject here before this hour's up because we've got 8 minutes left. Did we ever find out why we were the worst flirters? No. That conversation went farther away from any subject than we've ever started on. But in the last 8 minutes, why are Americans bad flirters? We've never even asked you, Carrington, what you thought flirting was. Are you a flirter?
No, I don't know how to flirt. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I bet you're flirty.
Oh, okay. Why?
Well, you just seem like the bubbly type of person. Matt, I think, has called you bubbly.
Okay, so bubbly equals flirty.
Probably to some people.
Okay, well, I guess I'm talkative and I try to be upbeat.
You don't think that would come off flirty?
I think bubbly just kind of comes off friendly.
So what's flirty? What is flirty?
Maybe if you're bubbly just toward a specific person. Like, I feel like I'm bubbly around the room, you know, I'll share it. But some people, it's like they're focusing that bubbliness on one person.
But what if a person just meets you and they haven't seen you be bubbly around anybody else, and you're very bubbly with them, they might think you're flirting with them.
That's true. I mean, hopefully you're going to talk to the person for more than 10 minutes and some other people are going to enter the room and you're going to see how they interact with other people too.
But why are we haven't answered the question, why are Americans such bad flirters? Why are they so good in Spain? Well, it's because they got that swarthy talk.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
They have romance languages.
Spanish fly, for people who know what that is. That's a whole thing.
I don't, but...
Look that up sometime. It's a chemical that makes you fall in love with somebody.
Inside Spanish people specifically? Like,
no,
what?
No.
What?
No, it's a... I believe it's a bug, actually. But you can... I believe you can... It's a smell. It's also something I think you can take in a pill. It comes from a bug, but it's called Spanish fly. I think it's a beetle, a matter of fact. But legend is, it's supposed to make somebody be attracted to you.
This is like the fountain of youth water.
Well, I guess if youth is what you're looking for.
Modern day love potion.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Really, look up Spanish fly some. I'm sure some of the people out there have heard about Spanish fly. But regardless of Spanish fly, why are Americans bad at this?
Maybe since we're so diverse, I don't know, and I feel like there's a lot of stuff where, you know, it's only acceptable to flirt if the other person likes you, because if, you know, they don't like that, then it comes off as
sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment, yes. Whereas maybe it's not as big of an issue in other countries, like maybe they don't view it that way. You know, like whenever they say bye in some European countries, they kiss and stuff, like maybe just affection is more normal within their culture.
You know, I think part of the reason that Americans are bad flirters is for something we're going to talk about later on, but we talked about earlier, that people, you don't have to do much in America anymore. If you know somebody likes you and you want to hook up, is that still what it's called, a hookup?
Yeah.
Okay, if it's still a hookup, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go through that whole thing that you used to have to go to. I think flirting is like sending somebody chocolate, getting them flowers, writing them poems, you know, winking at them, Sarah Palin-ish style or whatever that is. You do giggle. Giggling is a sign of flirting.
I giggle.
When you're around somebody.
Shoot.
So I think that that's all flirting. But I think Americans don't have to do that because Americans... They just go right to... They skip all the bases.
Well...
For people who understand the bases, they just, you know... It's like... you like baseball, right, Matt? It's your favorite sport. Some Americans hit a bunt, and they go for home. They just want 1, 2, 3, right there.
Okay, listen, what about the culture idea, though? Like, also, in European countries, they have public transit, and they're probably walking places more, so they, like, pass people out in public more, whereas we have cars, so what are you going to do? Look at the people in the car beside you, and you're, like, flagging them down, and they look at you, and you wink? Like, you know, you're driving the car, like, no one's going to stop.
Well, yeah, everybody's inside at some point.
Right, but I'm saying, like, they have more, like,
interaction
with others.
Has anybody ever written you a poem?
I don't think so.
Okay. Has anybody ever written you a poem, or have you ever written a poem for somebody?
No.
Have you ever written a poem for somebody?
I have not.
There you go. We don't flirt.
You're right.
Sounds like too much work to write a poem.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe we're just lazy, the lazy Americans.
I think it's the fear of coming off creepy. It's like, if you write a poem for the wrong person, they're like, get away, you know?
That's a restraining order
right
there.
But aren't people... Really? What are you writing in these poems?
What? I wasn't saying restraining order. You're just going to seem like a weirdo.
Look. If somebody you hardly knew wrote you a love poem, you're telling me you wouldn't just be like, no.
I wouldn't even know how to get a restraining order, so
yeah,
I would just
throw
it
away.
You can't get a restraining order for a poem.
Why not?
What is that? You're going to go to the judge and say, roses are red, violets are blue, I like you, so I'm going to need to get this guy away from me. That ain't going to work.
Maybe if the poem says, roses are red, violets are blue, I've got a knife and I'm going to get you.
I don't think that's flirting.
Yeah.
It's attempted murder.
Okay, but it's still writing a poem for someone.
Is that how people flirt with
you?
You
said writing a poem for someone.
That's how you flirt with you, huh?
Poem specific conversation.
That might be a whole thing. You might need to see a psychiatrist if that's what you think flirting is.
No, it was just the poem specific
conversation. No, flirting. You can't. What is a flirting to you? Maybe we're on different wavelengths here. What do you consider flirting? Like, what would be in a poem that would be flirt? I'm talking flirty is mild. It's like that silly stuff. You know, roses are red, violets are blue, I kind of like you. That's it.
I just feel like if you did that in today's world, it would not seem like flirting. It would just be like, oh my gosh, this person's obsessed with me.
Like, that's obsessed?
It would seem obsessed. No one's ever written me a poem. No one's ever written Matt a poem.
That's
like,
not
it's just not a normal thing.
That's not exactly Shakespeare there to rip that out. It doesn't take like 45 minutes to sit down and write that thing.
I know, but like... They still had to, you know, plan out a place to give it to you and figure out where you were going to be to hand you the poem. Like,
yeah,
it just seems like a lot.
It still had to be a whole, like...
We're lazy. That's what it is. This is what I learned. We are lazy. We put no... Yet we still hook up. We just don't take the effort to do anything for anybody.
I guess. I don't know. I just think of flirting as smaller things. Like I don't know, like if you're... Like the giggly thing, maybe. That's a good example of being flirty. Like, buying flowers.
Can I get a restraining order for that? Somebody
yeah.
giggles. Like,
too much giggling.
This girl giggled at me. Yeah, she's got to be... Put her away. Lock her up.
We're done with her.
I can't take that giggling. What is that? That's too much.
Too much.
Could you put her in the cell with the criminals?
With the criminals?
With the criminals.
Jail time.
Oh, well, we're coming up on the break here, so we don't know why people... If anybody has any idea, think about it during the break, and we'll take your call when we come back. Why are Americans... the worst flirters, except for what's going on in Ecuador?
That's true.
They really don't care. Well, that's the way it is. We got all kinds of good subjects, and we got a top 10 list coming back on the other side. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited?
Always.
It's going to be fun. It's pre-Labor Day. It's the end of summer. The official end of summer comes Monday. And what's that? First day of autumn, 21st? I believe
oh,
so.
Wow.
First day, 21 days till the first day of autumn. 21 days left of summer. 3 weeks.
That's so sad. I'm sad to see summer go.
Roses are red. They can also be black. Stick with this program. We'll be right back. Get the restraining order.
From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on mayor on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer